It's intermission time here at the Blossom Music Center, and now here is our intermission host, Klaus George Roy. Klaus?
Thank you, Robert. We are very happy today to have as our guest the soloist in this program, André Watts, whose performance of Chopin's F minor concerto you've just heard. Mr. Watts, next January it will be 10 years since you jumped in for Glenn Gould in the New York Philharmonic concerts, Leonard Bernstein conducting. You were then not quite 17 years old, but that wasn't really your orchestral debut either. Can you still remember your Philadelphia Orchestra appearance at the age of 9?
Oh, yes, I can. It was with Samuel Antek conducting. Antek is the gentleman who wrote the script to that marvelous book on Toscanini with all those fantastic pictures.
Yes.
And he played in the NBC Orchestra, and he was the assistant to Ormandy in Philadelphia. And I remember I auditioned and I played Haydn D major piano concerto.
Do you still play that piece?
No, I haven't played it since then. Isn't that funny?
It really is lovely.
Oh, it's a marvelous piece of music, yeah.
Of course, you played several times more with the youth concerts of the Philadelphia.
Yes.
Before the New York.
Yes, I played at the Robin Hood Dell, I think the year after I played the Haydn. And then when I was 14, I played with William Smith, who is still with the Philadelphia Orchestra, Franck Symphonic Variations.
Just a couple of hours ago, you spent some time talking to 50 high school age youngsters of the summer music experience of the Western Reserve Academy at Hudson, Ohio, a new summer program.
Right.
Do I understand that you're fond of talking to young people?
Oh, very much so, yes. I feel quite comfortable. I think if you're candid, which I much prefer above whatever the other alternatives are, they appreciate it, and then they become quite free and easy and ask you what really is on their mind. So often, you know, if you do very formalized things, people don't ask you what they really want to know. And consequently, you don't find out what's going on in their mind.
Also, the youngsters look at you as someone they can trust because you're not yet over 30.
Yes, right. Same generation.
When Brahms was 20 years old, Robert Schumann wrote such a glowing appreciation of his talent that Brahms, in a way, never get over it. He spent all his life trying to live up to it, and of course we know that he succeeded. Now, if that isn't too personal a question, Mr. Watts, what built-in defenses have you developed against the absolutely fabulous reviews that you're always getting?
Oh, well, I don't know. I have some, not so built-in, I have, I suppose, some beaten in by the not-so-fabulous reviews that I've gotten. But on the serious side, you know, I love to have good reviews, obviously.
Of
you
course.
Know, I mean, it's very
That's
nice.
Very sure.
Yeah, but nevertheless, in the end, I have to decide for myself whether it was really good or not. And it comes simply down to a matter of self-criticism. I've never been that pleased, so I really don't stand in too much danger from that, I don't
An
think.
An artist of your standard simply has to come to grips, then, with the widely held view, whether it is true or not, that you now play as well as you ever will and really have nothing
yes,
more to learn.
Yes, people say, well, what are you going to do now? You know, if they think that I play well, and then they say, well, so now what? But, I mean, there's so far to go. I think the better you get, the more you can see of how much further you could go, and the higher your aims become. And this business of being able, I guess it was Schnabel who said that technique was being able to produce at will with your hands on this instrument what you hear in your inner ear and be satisfied with it. And that's, you know, of course, really utopia for the musician, but you always go after it, and you'll never get it.
Perhaps it's an illustration of how seriously you take the idea of still improving and learning and growing, that just in recent years you have been studying some
oh,
more.
Oh, yes, oh, yes.
With Leon Fleischer
with
at
Leon
the Peabody
Fleischer, yes,
Conservatory.
Yes.
He's a great friend of the Cleveland Orchestra, of course.
Of course.
What
of
did
course.
You learn from him?
Oh, my, oh, my. So much. It's very hard to say, and I guess the best and most honest sort of old tribute that I can give, since after all not so many performing artists are great teachers, and I think he is a great teacher, and his aim has always been to talk and make music in our sessions, to just make music and to make it beautiful and to enjoy the beauty of it.
It must be something to attend the session of you two That's something, that's a privilege that I would like to have.
Well, I have to say, you know, I'm going to play a concert with him for the first time ever.
Oh,
he's
great.
Conducting now.
Yes.
And next season we'll do a concert together, and I look forward to that.
Isn't that marvelous? It must have been quite an experience for you, since you were born in Germany, to celebrate your 21st birthday playing with the Berlin Philharmonic. I wonder what that was like. If I may ask, did the German newspapers make anything of the fact that you were born in Nuremberg?
Oh, yes, indeed they did. Actually, you know, I think that I had played, I don't think that was my first appearance in Germany since I had left as a boy. I think I played the year previously. And, of course, they made a lot of that, saying, you know, well, here's a pianist who was born here and who returned. But, of course, the 21st birthday was a lot of fun. I don't know. I don't remember so much about it. All I remember is that I was playing with Zubin Mehta conducting, and we were quite friendly. And Zubin came to me after the second concert. You see, I played once on the day before my birthday and once on my birthday. And so he came to me after the second performance and he said, well, it didn't sound much different. I don't think you're aging properly.
Well, I sort of had the feeling in reading about that concert that it was a kind of a symbolic revenge for the Nuremberg laws.
Oh,
to have
well, that,
play.
That would be all right. That would be okay.
It's
yeah,
a little
yeah.
subtle, but
yes,
it
I know
did
what you
strike
mean.
Me.
Well, it would be nice, yeah.
When last you played with the Cleveland Orchestra under Louis Lane's direction, you chose a wonderfully balanced repertoire. You played Franck's symphonic variations, which are very delicate, and the rip-roaring Totentanz by Liszt.
Yes.
Now, today you have chosen a piece of great subtlety and intimacy. Which type do you find more demanding to play?
Oh, you know, I often have thought about that, obviously, a lot. But you know what happens? Always what you're playing at the moment is the most demanding, at least for me. You know, I always think, ah, well, last week I played Tchaikovsky, and since I practiced hard and technically it's all right, that was easier than what will happen today. Say I'm in another city and I'm playing Mozart, because Mozart is so... But, you know, it's always difficult. I don't know. Unfortunately, I've never found anything easy. And so whatever I'm doing at the moment is always the most difficult.
I think that's a good thing. There is a danger in making things look and sound too easy. Because... the audience says, well, gee, if it's that simple, then...
what's it for? Yes.
What's it for?
Yes.
I think there has to be some effort that is visible and audible.
Yes, I guess so. I don't know. I suppose it's inevitable that it will always be that way. I certainly would like to play something like the second Brahms concerto and be so at one with it that it would just pour out, but I don't think that will ever happen.
Well, I think your recorded performance pours out.
Well,
the one you did with Bernstein. You know, during your performance just now, a lady behind me said, "What is he saying while he's playing?"
Oh my, oh my.
So I said, "I don't know, but I think he is singing without making a sound."
Well, unfortunately, occasionally the sounds do come out. But yes, that's what I do. I just sort of bumble along with it
somehow.
Well,
I think you speak through it. Every phrase you shape also with your whole being.
This is the way
it looks to me.
That's how it feels to me. I don't know how successful it always is, but that's how it feels, yes.
Well,
indeed.
I don't think you will ever make as many audible sounds as either Rudolf Serkin or Glenn Gould.
Well, I tell you, if I did and it could get me that kind of playing, I wouldn't object. I wouldn't object.
Well, you are looking toward the future, and it is likely to be a long one. We'll speak to you again sometime before the next 50 years are out.
Good, good.
I expect to be hearing you then.
Thank you.
It's been our very great pleasure to talk with André Watts, the soloist on this program. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
And now back to Robert Conrad.